The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. You will remain in my love if you keep my commandments, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy might be complete." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, Jesus says the most important words ever uttered. "As the Father loves me," and we know that the Father loves Jesus perfectly. "As the Father loves me with all he is, I love you." There are many times in our life where we are searching for love. St. John Paul II wrote in his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, that man can't live without love. It's being incomprehensible to himself. He's lost if he doesn't have this experience. Jesus knows that. He is the one who created us with that infinite longing. And he says, "Just as the Father loves me, so I love you, Sister Bridget. I love you, Sister Therese. I love you, Sister Agnes Dei. I love you, Roger." Perfect love. A lot of the times we work so hard to try to earn the love of the Lord, and he's telling us we don't have to. That just as the Father loves him, he loves us that much. This is what the world's searching for, but because it doesn't grasp that it comes straight from the Lord, looks for it in lots of places. You're dealing so often with the effects of those who are searching for the Lord and the Lord's infinite love down dead ends that in which they're never going to find it. How important it is for us to grasp that the Lord loves us this much, to hear Jesus saying, not "I love y'all," as a southerner would say, "I love you," singular, just as St. Paul himself exclaimed in his letter to the Galatians, that the Son of God loved me and gave his life up for me. This experience is true, but it's not meant to remain intellectual. How does it become existential? Jesus tells us, "Remain in my love." That's again an active verb that comes from the passively received experience. To remain in the love is a choice. A lot of the times we choose to run away from the love of the Lord. We think it can't possibly be true. How could he ever really love us that much? And then, as so many people do, and we all minister to them, because they have such a bad self-image, not an image of someone infinitely loved by the Lord, so that he would mount Calvary 1,000 times to suffer 1,000 times as worse. They try to behave in such a way that justifies their bad self-image so that everyone else will despise them as they loathe themselves. We're dealing with a world that's so wounded this way because that's exactly where the devil attacks. So Jesus tells us, "Remain in my love." Make the heroic choice just to dwell there. And then he gives us the means. "If you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love." We have been so distorted in our relationship to the commandments that to a large degree, when Jesus says, "Remain in my love by keeping my commandments," we think that that's saying, "Go to Boston by taking 95 South." It just doesn't seem to be heading in that direction because we misunderstand the commandments. But the commandments are all God's formational school It's vocational technical school to train us to receive His love, to remain in it, and to give it to others. Jesus would say in St. Matthew's Gospel that the whole law and the prophets, a fortiori, the Ten Commandments, they're all about the love of God and the love of neighbor. On these hang, He says, the love of God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and the love of your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. They're all about love, and we know that. How can we really be living in the love of the Lord if we're superstitiously adoring other gods? How can we love the Lord and remain in His love if we're using His holy name as a throwaway term or an anger? How can we love the Lord if we think that there's something more important on the day we call His than being with Him? How can we really love others if we're dishonoring them, if we're hating them or killing them, if we're taking advantage of them for our own pleasure, if we're stealing from them, if we're lying to them or about them, if we're angry that God's blessed them with a spouse to whom we're attracted, or with things that we would want? The Ten Commandments are the means by which we remain truly in the love of the Lord. And then Jesus says, if this is occurring, then we're going to have the real fruit of this experience of being loved and growing in it by loving in response. I have told you this so that my joy might be in you and your joy might be complete. As we talked about on Saturday at this Day of Recollection, Pope Francis' words that whenever you see a seminarian or a priest or a religious without joy, it's always because of celibacy, he said. It's always because of celibacy. Because they're not experiencing the joy that comes from spiritual paternity or spiritual motherhood. Because they're not living in that experience of love with God that overflows fruitfully into their love of others. Pope Francis is right. God wants us to have that joy, the joy that flows from being loved. And to the extent that we recognize we're not living in joy, the root cause of it always begins that we're not letting God love us to the degree to which He wants to love us, just the way the Father loves the Son. We see the importance of all of this in the first reading today, because what this whole dispute was about that led to the first ecumenical council in the church, the Council of Jerusalem, is how to live in the love of the Lord and how to have that loving bond with others. That's what the dispute was about, circumcision, about the Mosaic Law. It was about how to relate to God and how to relate to others, as we mentioned a little bit yesterday. So in today's Gospel, we hear in today's first reading, we hear St. Peter say of how the Lord used him as an instrument so that the Gentiles might come to hear the Gospel and believe. He sent them His love, who is the Holy Spirit. They were saved by grace, just like we were. And so why should we yoke them? Now, this is an experience St. Paul would write about a lot, the experience of a Jew, which unfortunately is the experience of so many Catholics of the generations before us, but some of the times we've received that formation, that our entire Christian life is deontological. It's all living in external adhesion to commandments that don't give life. That just as the Jews had the 613 commandments in the Old Covenant, and then all the interpretations of the rabbis to multiply them beyond notion, such that you almost couldn't touch anything without becoming ritually impure. They experienced it as a tremendous yoke. And when people saw the Pharisaical Jews, they didn't see smiles. They saw pickled chili peppers, as Pope Francis said a year ago. They saw sourpusses. First time a pope has ever used that term. They saw people who were not full of God. Because if God just fills us with burdens, who wants to follow that God? A lot of the times we don't have that proper face of Jesus. When we look at Jesus, as I like to say, we see the lifeless face of Robert Powell playing Jesus in Jesus of Nazareth, rather than Bruce Marchione's face preaching the Sermon on the Mount, in which he's just so full of life. St. Peter said, we're not going to yoke these Gentile Christians in the same lifeless way we experienced. We believe that we are saved through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in the same way they have been. They've been saved by the love of the Lord in the same way we have been. And then James also spoke, describing how it was the Lord's plan that the rest of humanity may seek out the Lord, and all the Gentiles on whom my name is invoked might do so, so that they might likewise be able to proclaim God's marvelous deeds. Greatest of all of these deeds is the love that would lead him to stop at nothing in order to bring us into a communion of love. At the end, we see that they give three conditions, and they're going to be recapitulated tomorrow. We need to tell the Gentiles who turn to God to avoid pollution from idols. Why? Because not only would it cause a scandal, but it could very easily draw them away from the first commandment and the law, the love of the Lord. What it meant was, in the old, at the time where this was occurring, the pagan ritual sacrifices where you'd kill an animal, you'd put the blood basically on the altar. The one who had done the sacrificing, the priest or the priestess, would take a small little portion of the food, and then all the rest of the food of the killed animal would be yours to eat, so that you could enter into communion with the God to whom the animal had been sacrificed. And so when they were avoiding pollution from idols, they were avoiding pollution from all of the superstition and all of the background in which they were having communion with the pagan sacrifice. Obviously, that wouldn't be consistent with living in the love of the Lord. Second, unlawful marriage, porneia, is the technical term there in Greek, which is far more than unlawful marriage. It's all sexual impurity, because the devil, who hates our guts and is going to corrupt who we, in whose image we're made, and we're made in the image of God, who is communion of persons in love. The easiest way for the devil to destroy that is by corrupting our love. He does that through lust. He does that through porneia. That's where we get the word pornography from. Meat of strangled animals. What's that all about? The whole Jewish kosher dietary laws have to do with the Lord's being Lord of life, and blood was the sign of life. If blood is flowing, you're alive. And so if you were to eat the meat of an animal with the blood still in it, it was almost as if you were playing God, because there was still life inside. The only meat you could ever eat is meat that was dead. And they interpreted the dead, what it meant to be dead would be no blood inside. So again, the greatest temptation, which is to play God, would be invoked there. So they said, avoid that type of situation. The meat of strangled animals and blood. The Lord said these words about how much he loves us personally, and how to remain in that love and experience the joy that flows from it on Holy Thursday night. What we enter into every morning. At every Mass, Jesus says, Sister Michaela, Sister Maria, Sister Claudia, just as the Father loves me, I love you. It's every morning when the Lord gives us himself as the enfleshment of that holy love. To remain in his love means to remain in him. When we really remain in him, then we'll always be keeping his commandments, because they're all explicitations of this twofold command of love, which is the only way what St. Augustine said makes sense. Fac et ama quod vis. Just love. Et fac quod vis. Love and do whatever you want, because when we're really genuinely loving, we're going to be united in communion with the one who loves through us. And it's in the Eucharist in which Jesus gives us himself as joy and then sends us out to proclaim his marvelous deeds with joy to all the nations. May we receive the full depth of what the Lord says today, the most important words ever enunciated. Just as the Father loves me, I love you. This is my body, this is my blood, this is all I am and have, totally sacrificed to make you happy. Let's never stop singing this reality. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.